consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as His people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Let us kneel and receive the confession of sin.
Thank you.
our minds on things that are right, and by your merciful guiding accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the reading of our lessons from God's Holy Word.
Thanks be to God. We rise for the singing of the Alleluia verse.
Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children,
you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world for temptations to sin. For it is necessary that temptations come, but woe to the one by whom the temptation comes. And if your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the hell of fire. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man came to save the lost. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountain and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds him, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him leave you as a Gentile, a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated for the children's message. You get me today for children's message. So if we had to think, you know, who's the most important person in the congregation? Who's the greatest in the congregation? Could be the pastor, of course, you know, most important, greatest person here. Or maybe the president, Matt Franke. He's pretty important. He's in charge of a lot of things here at church. Or the head of the elders, Dan Heitker, he's pretty important keeping things rolling. And maybe it's the oldest person in the congregation. You know, Garnett Arnold, I think, is the oldest one right now in the congregation. And she's the most important, the greatest person in the congregation. So who's the greatest in the congregation? So, you know, amongst us here today, I'm thinking it's Owen Miller. Owen Miller is the most important one. Yeah, he doesn't even know. Because Owen, he's like three. You know? And the one thing about Owen is, Owen needs a lot of help. Owen doesn't do a lot of stuff on his own. You know? And so Owen needs a lot of help. He needs mom and dad there to feed him and clothe him and keep him safe and in a house. So Owen knows, and Owen doesn't care. Owen knows he needs help. And that's what makes Owen one of the greatest here. Because to be great in the kingdom of heaven is to know that you need help. Amen. All right, so let's continue with the sermon. Which I don't know what it is.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have you ever been to the emergency room at the hospital? It can often take hours and hours and hours to be seen. You sit patiently for those hours, and then someone else comes in, and suddenly there's a swarm of people around them working feverishly. What's the difference? It doesn't matter how long you've been waiting. The person with the greatest need is the most important. What is the church? Is the church a museum for saints, or is it a hospital for sinners? This is something we can get confused about. It's something that the disciples are getting confused about in our gospel reading today. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Who's the greatest? Who's the most important?" These are normal, natural human questions. Who's the best? Who's number one? Who is Jesus' favorite? We are sadly way too much like the disciples. We also want to know who is the greatest. Who's the most important in your department at work? Who has the highest grades in your class? Who is the best on your team? Who has things most together in your extended family? Pastors do this too. We measure ourselves against the other pastors by the size of our congregations that we can look up online and know who am I better than or who am I not so good as. And then there's the natural opposite classification. Who is least important? Who's failing? Who's the worst? Whose life is falling apart? Who can I look down on and feel better about myself? You meet a new group of people and you start to classify and sort people according to these categories of best and worst. And it's way too easy for us to do this also in the church. Who's the greatest? Who's the least? We check people out. We size them up based on their looks, their clothing, how well they sing, how well do their children behave. We try to figure it out. Who's the greatest? The disciples want to know who the greatest is, and Jesus tells them they have it all wrong. And calling to him a child, he puts him in the midst of them and says, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Children, especially in Jesus' time, are needy, helpless, vulnerable, and powerless. Now, nowadays, there are some who idolize children, but children are still needy, helpless, vulnerable, and powerless. If you hear on the news that an adult is lost in the woods, you become a little concerned. But if you hear a 3-year-old is lost in the woods, you become very concerned. That child needs help right away. The disciples are worried about who is the greatest. Jesus tells them that the greatest one is the one who knows that he is needy, helpless, vulnerable, and powerless. It brings us back to the Sermon on the Mount. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The world is very worried about greatness. Jesus blesses those who know they are helpless, those who know they cannot do it on their own. You want to pretend that you have life pretty much together. But you know, as hard as it is to admit, you know that you are needy, helpless, powerless, and vulnerable. And this is what Jesus calls you to know. Whoever humbles himself like a child is the greatest. Blessed are the poor in spirit. This is revolutionary teaching. This turns what is considered normal completely on its head. The world teaches that you get what you deserve, you get what you earn. Jesus gives you what you don't deserve, and he doesn't give you what you earn. Christianity is countercultural. Out of love, God sends his son Jesus to be the sacrificial Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world on the cross. Being the Christ means suffering, dying, and rising from the dead. Jesus pays the price for your sin, and Jesus gives you this gift of forgiveness free of charge. You cannot buy it. You cannot earn it. Jesus gives it to those who know that they are in need. The devil so much wants to get you to look down on others to build yourself up. The devil wants you to stay away from church because of all those hypocrites. Oh, they say they're Christians, but they're just a bunch of sinners. It's absolutely correct. This is a gathering of sinners. And there's always room for one more. When you're at church, the devil wants you to look around, judge others, look down on others. The devil wants you to think you're better than them. The devil wants you to pray, thank God, I'm not like that person. That is the devil trying to keep you from the forgiveness of sins. We welcome sinners to gather with us to receive God's gifts. We welcome sinners, but we never welcome or encourage sin. The devil wants to tempt you to embrace sin, share sin, pull others into sin. The devil wants you to get so used to sin that it becomes part of your identity and you want to invite others to participate with you. You are a baptized child of God. Sin does come naturally, but it is not who you are. Sin comes naturally, but it is still evil. And Jesus clearly warns against causing others to sin. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world for temptations to sin. For it is necessary that temptations come, but woe to the one by whom the temptation comes. Is the church a museum for saints or a hospital for sinners? You know the answer because you are here. You are here to receive God's gifts. You are here to hear the words of absolution. You are here to receive Jesus' body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. You are here to receive the medicine of eternal life. This is indeed a hospital for sinners. And the greatest one here is the one who needs forgiveness the most. In order to help illustrate that we are indeed by nature sinful and unclean, I sometimes say, imagine you have an iPad on your chest, and this iPad reveals your thoughts to those around you. It's like a window revealing your inner self to the world. What would you do? I'd run. I'd run fast, covering it up. Now, if everyone had one of these, one thing you would know, and one thing it would show, is that you are not alone in your struggles. You are not the lone sick sinner in a museum of saints. It would show you that the church is indeed a hospital for sinners. No one has it together. No one is being good enough. We all struggle. A question like, who is the greatest? It's just the wrong question. When someone in the ER is surrounded by doctors and nurses and technicians, they are the most important person in the room at that moment. They are most important because they have the greatest need. Their life hangs in the balance. When you gather here to receive God's forgiveness, the one who needs forgiveness the most is the most important because they have the greatest need. Their eternal life hangs in the balance. Be honest about your battle with sin. Know your sin. Name your sin. Struggle against sin. Cut it out of your life, no matter how painful. The struggle against sin is humbling because it is marked with consistent failure. It shows that you are needy, helpless, vulnerable, and powerless, like a little child. It shows that you need Jesus. You need Jesus, and you have come to the right place. Jesus is here for you. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord Jesus returns in glory. Amen. We rise and confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
Prayers today, remember Scott Barrett, King William's brother, who died this last week. Pray for his family. Jim Zarker recovering from a broken femur at Chesterwood. Tippy Gilly, who broke her leg, is recovering from surgery. For John Hinks, Pam Camp's father, has been admitted to the hospital with pneumonia. For Jack Head, struggling to recover from a broken hip. For Larry Scheidler, Natalie Reeder's friend, who's having a kidney removed. For Kathy Bartle, suffering from early onset Alzheimer's and related issues in Florida. And for Frank Sin, with Selmayr's friend having serious complications with cancer treatment. Blessed Lord, you have promised that where two or three are gathered in your name, you are in the midst of them. Hear the prayers of your people and grant our supplications. O Lord, grant to your people courage, that with boldness we may speak your name and witness and warn sinners, so that they may come to faith and repentance and so enjoy the forgiveness of their sins. Give your church wisdom and strength by your Spirit, that she may be steadfast and unmovable in your word and truth. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, be present among your people to serve us with the gifts of your grace, and grant that we may receive them with joy. Give to us faithful pastors and church workers who will minister to us in your name and strengthen our faith and life together as your baptized people. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, give to us good and honest leaders who will govern according to your word and will. Give us grace that we may not fail to pray for those who lead us and to act as good citizens and good neighbors to one another. Give peace to the nations and bring end to violence, prejudice, and racism. Guide us to know and respect all life, from the infant in the womb to the youth beginning maturity, and from the mature to the aged. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you send rain upon the earth and turn seeds into plants rich with fruit for harvest. Accept our thanks and praise for your continued goodness in providing a good harvest and food for all. Give us wisdom so that we may use our resources wisely and extend your care to those in need. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you urge us to give special care and guidance to the young and those new in faith. Give us grace that we may not lead them into temptation or sin, but guard their faith by making known to them the full counsel of your word. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you are the strength of the weak, the healing of the sick, the comfort of those who grieve, and the peace of those near death. Hear us on behalf of Scott's family, Jim, Kibby, John, Jack, Larry, Kathy, and Frank, that they may be sustained in their afflictions, comforted in life and death, and delivered to everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, teach us to forgive others as you have forgiven us, and bless the fellowship of the forgiven, that we may be united in doctrine and life. Bless us as we commune today upon the body and blood of our Savior, and help us to keep in holy lives what we will receive upon our lips in this holy sacrament. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, deliver us from pandemic and pestilence, from disaster and danger, and from sudden death, that kept in faith you may be preserved through this mortal life, and in death be received in the arms of your mercy, and into the blessed rest of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy. Hear us, O Lord, who cry to you in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who with the Spirit you are one God and one Lord, now and forevermore. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven,
We laud and magnify your glorious name, and are praising you and say.
Thank you.
the body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven.
Shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor.